Today we have the privilege of studying Yeshayah Perek Samach Dalet 64. This is the conclusion of the prayer which we've been looking at for the last several prakim. It actually began in at the end of Perek Samach Bet in Ivru Basharim, which begins the process of describing God's revenge against Edom, which was the center of chapter 63. Then in chapter 63, verse 7, we move to the idea of, from the God's revenge against Edom, moving to the idea of mentioning God's past acts of kindness towards the Jewish people. And now, as we move into chapter 64, the issue is taking those past acts of kindness and using them as a model for praying for future redemption. So the parak begins really in the middle of an issue, with where the last chapter ended off, mentioning the revelation at Har Sinai as one of God's acts of kindness towards the Jewish people, and using that redemption at Sinai as a model for describing God's acts of deliverance, where God acts against the enemies of the Jewish people. That idea of seeing Sinai as an emblem of God's acts of deliverance, where He acts against the enemies of the Jews, is first found explicitly in Shirat Dvorah, in Sefer Shoftim Perak Hei, where we read about Harim Nazlu Mipnei Hashem, Ze Sinai Mipnei Hashem Elokei Yisrael, the mountains melt from before God, Sinai from before God of Israel. So that already there we find the idea of the Ma'amad Har Sinai as a representative symbol of God's actions against other nations, even though God, the story of Har Sinai, as we see it in Shemot, does not actually explicitly refer to God acting against other nations. But here we seem to see that idea. Here, Pasuk Perak Samach Gimel ends with the idea of Mipanecha Harim Nazolu, from before you mountains melt away, or mountains move away. And now Perak Samach Dalet begins with the idea of Kikdoach Esh Hamasim, Maim Tiv'e Esh. So this is a syntactically difficult pasuk, but it seems to refer to the idea as fire burns, causing the melting of water into gas, causing the liquefaction of the evaporation of water into gas, and then the water bubbling with bubbles seemingly full of fire, ma'im tiv'e'esh, water seeming to bubble because of heat. So this idea of sort of a volcanic explosion, the mountain containing water, containing smoke, containing fire, referring to Har Sinai, and this is understood in the continuation of the pasuk as lehodia l'shimcha l'tzarecha, in order to make your name known to your enemies, mipanecha goyim yirgazu, from before you the nations flee, from before you the nations are scared. The idea that God's power is revealed at Har Sinai causes other nations to run away. This is an understanding of Har Sinai that we see reflected in Shirat Dvorah, and it's reflected here too. Again, it's not something that's explicitly mentioned in Sefer Shemot, the idea that the other nations flee from the events at Har Sinai. It is not the focus of the events at Sefer Shemot, but it does seem to be the understanding of the events at Har Sinai that we see in Shirat Dvorah and here in Sefer Yeshayahu. And that idea is understood by the Radak here, where he mentions this explication of the whole idea of this pasuk is referring to Har Sinai, and then he concludes, V'yesh tefaresh ha'inyan hazeh kulo derech mashal. This whole idea should be understood as a parable referring to al milchamot shenilcham ha'el ba'avur Yisrael be'oyvehem, referring to the wars that God fought against the enemies of Israel for the sake of the Jewish people. That idea is also presented explicitly in Pasuk Bet, ba'asotchal noraot lo nekaveh, yaradta mipanecha harim nazolu. The beginning of the Pasuk is quite difficult. So in other words, the seems to refer to when you made miracles which we wouldn't have hoped for. In other words, we could not have thought you could make such great powerful deeds, but behold, you did make these powerful deeds. There were things we couldn't even conceive of in our own minds that would be possible, and behold, you did them. You came down, yaradata, Mipanecha harim nazolu. Again, repeating the refrain from the end of Perek Samach Gimel. From before you the mountains move away, or from before you the mountains melt. Now we move into Pasuk Gimel, where the Navi speaks to moves his focus from the Jewish people now to the nations of the world. Umeolam lo shamu lo heezinu, ayin lo ra'ata, elokim zulatcha ya'ase limcha keilo. From long ago, they have not heard, they had not listened, they were no one had imagined that a God besides you would have done something like this for those who hope for him. In other words, you God have powers that the nations of the world cannot even imagine attributing to their gods. That seems to be the pshat of the pasuk. There is an interesting drash here, which Radak brings down from the Gemara and Brachos, based on the end of the pasuk, Ayin lo ra'ata Elokim zulatcha ya'ase limcha kelo. It's a drash. Ayin lo ra'ata. Kol ha'nevi'im lo nitnabu ela limot ha'mashiach. So the prophecies of the prophets refer to the days of the Mashiach. But what about Olam Haba, the world to come, the sort of otherworldly world that is beyond the bounds of space and time? About that, this pasuk is mentioned. Ayin lo ra'ata, elokim zulatcha ya'ase limcha kelo. That is unimaginable. The world to come is something unimaginable. That's a drasha. It doesn't refer to the pshat of the pasuk. The pshat of the pasuk in its natural flow refers to the nations of the world not being able to understand or to conceive of the miracles that you, God, have done to the Jewish people. And that is used as a basis now for the prophet's plea to God to return and have mercy upon the Jewish people. Pasuk Dalet. Pagata et sas ve'ose tzedek bidrachecha yizkirucha. That's a difficult passage. Let's begin with that. Pagata et sas ve'ose tzedek bidrachecha yizkirucha. Literally, you have hurt, you have damaged, you have bumped up against the one who rejoices and those who do justice in your ways they would mention you, or in your ways they do mention you, in your ways they will mention you. What is this referring to? And the Radak understands this is a reference to the concept of Avad Chasid Min Haaretz, the good people are gone from the world. Otama tzadikim shayu osim mitzvatcha besimcha, all those tzadikim who would do your command with rejoicing, Inam ba'olam ata, she'amdu lanu ba'peretz, kmo shahayu osim harishonim. There are no longer such righteous men who can stand and daven for us as the earlier ones used to do, and they're gone. So you, God, have caused the death of these tzadikim who did justice. And bidrachecha yizkerucha, they would mention you by means of your ways. What are your ways? Those are the 13 midot, shlosh esrei midot, which God mentioned to Moshe standing at Har Sinai, Hashem, Hashem, Kerachum, V'chanun, which are the 13 midot, which are mentioned in after the sin of the golden calf at Har Sinai, and again at the sin of the Meraglim. These are the basis of penitential prayer in Judaism, and it is these shlosh esrei midot that these earlier righteous ones would mention. And behold, these earlier righteous ones are gone. Hen ata katzafta v'necheta, bahem olam v'nivashaya. Now, ata katzafta, you become angry when we sin. Shahayita kotzef aleinu ba'avur shechatanu lefanecha. When you would become angry at us because we sinned to you, the Radak comments, we would rely on these righteous ones who are seem to us to be eternal, and we would be saved by means of their tefillot. Bahem hayinu somchim kol yemei olam. We would rely on them from time immemorial. We would rely on these righteous ones, and they would pray to you, and we would be saved. Now, in the absence of these primeval righteous ones, pasuk hey, vanehi chatamech kulanu, ucheveged idim kol tzidkotenu. We now appear to ourselves to be impure. And the Radak comments here the word vanehi ukiveget idim kotenu, and all our righteousness is like a clothing of idim. Idim is a very difficult word. The Radak understands this as referring to a rag. Goes into detail there. I'm not going to go into detail now, but we are conceived in the absence of these righteous ones. We see ourselves as impure. We see ourselves as rags. Vanavel ka'ale kulanu, va'avonenu karuach yisa'unu. We wither like leaves, our sins carry us away. We have lacked the stability that is given by the presence of these righteous ones from previous generations. Pasuk Vav, continuing this idea, Ve'en korev shimcha mitorer lahachazik bach. There is no one who calls out your name, who awakens himself to hold fast to you, ki yistarta panecha mimenu, vatimugenu biyad avonenu. You have hidden your face from us, you have caused us to immerse ourselves in our sins. So we are given over into our sins. You have hidden your face from us. The righteous ones are gone. Who will save us? Out of this despair comes the plea in Pasuk Zayin, which is the basis of this whole mahalach, this whole procedure that has been going on since chapter 63. Va'at Pasuk Zayin ve'ata, as so often in Tanakh, the word ve'ata introduces the pith of the argument. Ve'ata Hashem avinu ata. Now behold, God, you are our Father. Anachnu hachomer v'ata yotzreinu. We are the clay. You are our Maker. U'ma'asei yadcha kulanu. We are the work of your hands. This, like many other psukim in the rest of this parak, is used in the tachanunim that we recite daily after Shmona Esrei. V'ata Hashem avinu ata. Behold, God, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are our Maker, we are the work of your hands. Therefore, Pasuk Chet, Al tiktzof Hashem ad me'od. God, do not be so very angry. Ve'al la'ad tizkor avon. And do not eternally remember our iniquities. Hen habetna amcha chulanu. Look at us, we are all your people. And what is the specific element that the prophet is praying for here? Arei kodshecha hayu midbar. Your holy cities have become deserts, wildernesses. Tzion midbar hayata, Yerushalayim shmama. Tzion is a wilderness, Yerushalayim is desolate. God, please return and allow us to resettle these areas. Now, before I've spoken about how the end of Sefer Yeshayahu from Perek Mem and on seems to refer to the period of Shivat Tzion. Well, if we think about Shivat Tzion, why would the idea of the temple being, why would the idea of Jerusalem being a wilderness be relevant? Wasn't Jerusalem rebuilt? We know from Sefer Nehemiah, as well as archaeologically, that when the Jews returned to Eretz Israel, only a small number returned, only a small number of those wanted to dwell in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim remained in the destruction that it had been from the time of the Babylonians. Large areas of Jerusalem were not resettled, and the Jews were in fact in great despair at the state of Yerushalayim. And so this can nevertheless refer to this period of Shivat Tzion, where the prophet is praying for the Jews who are returning to Zion. God, we are aware that we no longer have all those righteous ones. We are aware that we have sinned. We are aware that you are hiding your face. Yet, God, you are our Father. Please have mercy on us. Don't be so very angry. Allow us to rebuild Yerushalayim. Pasuk Yud, verse 10. And this verse is the verse that we say today when we see the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash as a din in the Shulchan Aruch, brought down in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. That when one sees the place of the Holy Temple, one is obligated to tear one's clothes in a sign of mourning, and to mention this pasuk from Yeshayahu, which speaks about the destruction of Yerushalayim. And here it's interesting that the pasuk that is chosen by the Shulchan Aruch as the pasuk to quote is a pasuk from the very end of this tefillah. It's a pasuk that literally speaks about the destruction of Yerushalayim, but is actually a prayer for Yerushalayim's rebuilding. Beit Kodshenu v'tifartenu ha'asher hilalucha avotenu haya lisrifat esh. Our holy house and our house of chiefness, over in which our ancestors praised you, through which our ancestors praised you, has become a place burnt by fire. V'chol machamadenu haya lechorba, and all that we desire has been destroyed. And the tefillah here ends in pasuk 11. Ha'al ele titapak Hashem, techeshe ute'anenu ad me'od. Over all of these, God, shall you restrain yourself? Shall you remain silent and bring us to be very low? God, will you in fact do this and allow us to be brought low? And of course, it's a rhetorical question with the expectation that God will not allow us to be brought so very low, but God will return, redeem us and bring us out of the state of oppression and to bring the temple out of its state of destruction. The Radak makes the question even more pointed. Ech tuchal lihitapak al eile, ech tuchal lihitapak al eile, velo terachem. How can you hold back over all of these? How can you restrain yourself over all of these and not have mercy? So that is the question that God is being asked here by the prophet as the conclusion of this tefillah. And I'll just go back to some of the key, two of the key psukim here. Pasuk Zayin, Ve'ata Hashem Elokeinu Ata, Anachnu Achomer Ve'ata Yotzreinu Umaaseh Yadcha. Kulanu, behold God, you are our Father, we are the clay, you are our maker, you are our, we are the work of your hands. And then the mention of the destruction, Pasuk Yud, Bid Kodshenu V'tifartenu, Asher Heilalucha Avotenu, Hayal Yisrefat Esh, our holy temple and place of chiefness, which are, through which our ancestors praised you, has become burnt by fire, V'chol Machamadenu Hayal Chorban, all of our desires has been destroyed. And then the question, Ha'al Ele Titapak Hashem, Techashe Unta'anenu Ad Me'od, will you, God, hold back when you see all of these? Rabbi Eliezer Mibalaganzi concludes his commentary on this parak by referring back to pasuk we saw in Parak Samech Bet, chapter 62, Lema'an Tzion lo echeshe, when God says, I will not be silent for the sake of Zion. So that this pasuk, Ha'alele titapak Hashem, will you God hold back and be silent, is in fact a reference to God's earlier statement in Parak Samech Bet that he will not be silent for the sake of Zion.